Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. We start in the name of Allah الرحمن الرحيم. O praise to Allah رب العالمين. And may the peace and blessings be upon Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, upon his family, his companions, and upon all those who follow the path of Haq, the path of truth, until the day of judgment. And I do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of us gathered here today inshaAllah will be upon that path. As-salamu alaykum, brothers and sisters, inshaAllah, thank you for this opportunity. I'm very wary of the time that we have allocated. The subject which I've been asked to talk about, as you can see up there, mashaAllah, is the title, Who Am I? Or can I read it? Claiming Our Muslim Identity. So inshaAllah, I hope to give about 20 minutes discussion, not more than that, and then we can open up for a good engagement. It's not a question about simply asking questions. If there are comments or clarifications, by all means, inshaAllah, all knowledge and correctness and what is right belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Knowledge purely belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what we have is very little. And no one is in a position to say they have knowledge on a subject. Rather, inshaAllah, we are constantly in the process of learning. So if there are any mistakes, these are my mistakes, and inshaAllah, if anyone here can correct that, by all means, inshaAllah. So I want to start the discussion by giving a quick analogy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an, in Surah Kahf, is a very beautiful surah. It's a surah which we've been recommended to recite on Yom Jum'ah. And in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about and presents four stories. And these four stories are indicative and a reminder to the Muslims about the situation. Trials related to wealth, trials related to iman, trials related to knowledge, and trials related to authority. And the example at the end in Surah Kahf is related to Sulaiman alayhi salam. So with this in mind, what I wanted to do was to give an analogy, because this is very important for us, having an analogy that we can work with to understand the subject, and inshaAllah we can build upon. Now while I was driving here, somebody mentioned to me that when you go into a shop or you work for a company, there is something called company culture, and company culture has an expectation that you believe in the culture, you believe in the product, you become a representative of that company, and when you go and present a product, you believe in the product, and when you present it to somebody, you present it to sell it to them on the premise you believe in that product. So if I was a recipient, if I was a buyer and you came to me and you said, Burhan, please purchase this product. And then I ask you the question, do you believe in it? You go, well, actually I don't believe in it, but I'm just here to sell it. I wouldn't be convinced in wanting to buy that product from you, because you don't represent that product and what it's supposed to be. If you don't believe in it, why should I believe in it? If you do not represent it, then why do you expect me to embrace it? And we recognize that within the company culture. And within the company culture, if you don't represent that product, they normally say, thank you very much, but you no longer need to work for us. How that analogy applies to us is in a very simple way. Who am I? What product do we represent? What product do we sell? And really, we're here to represent Islam and sell it. Not literally sell it. We're not here to make money out of it. But we're here to present Islam to the people. We're here to present Islam to our families as parents. and be a reference and a role model for them. We're here to present and preserve Islam as a community. Particularly, alhamdulillah, amongst us, our respected elders who made so much effort and sacrifice to build this community where it is to present, to preserve Islam. And the moment we say, well, this is my Islam, but you know something, I'm prepared to give you maybe only some of it, we're doing a disservice to what we represent and what we should be representing. And that's a very important subject when it comes to the subject of who am I, because today this has become the biggest subject of discussion for Muslims in the West. Who am I? And inshallah, in this talk I just want to discuss three very, very brief points. And when I start this point, to start these three points by initially giving this kind of game that's normally played, it's called word association. I give you a word and what immediately comes to your mind. So if I mention the word biryani, what immediately comes to your mind? Rice, spicy, food, hot, hunger, you, Indian. You start thinking automatically, word association comes to your mind. I say the word duck. What immediately comes to your mind? Quack, animal, farm, water, word association. If I mention the word terrorist, what word association do we have with that? And what association does the wider community have with that? What association does the wider society have with that? Do you see what happens? If I said the word Muslim, what word association would you have for Muslim? We have a word association. We think of the Shahada, we think of the five pillars of Islam. But when you ask the wider society, word association, what do you think of Islam? What do you think of Muslims? They'll associate that with the previous word associated, which is terrorist, extremist. They'll make that association. And that is the world that we live in today, where there is word association, where we are not the ones defining it, somebody else is defining it for us. And we are simply in the situation where we either have to accept it, or we become silent, because we don't know how to respond to it. And this is why the whole idea, who am I? And to understand that subject, first point, we need to then build the concept, where does who am I come from? It's very easy to say, I am Muslim. But today, and I was meeting mashallah with the uncle just before this discussion, definition is so important. Who am I? Am I Muslim? Am I Asian? Am I Arab? Am I Indian? Am I an American? Am I British? Am I an American Muslim? Am I a British Muslim? Am I an Asian Muslim? And I'm, what am I? Because these are definitions which are being given to us. And these are not just innocent definitions. They mean something and they represent something. And as the uncle mentioned to me beautifully, we've gone even beyond the definitions, and now, are you a moderate? Are you an extremist? And we start to associate or disassociate according to these definitions. So who am I? And to understand that, first point, we need to build it upon the right basis. And what is the right basis? The right basis has to be from the Shahada. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. That is the basis for all of us. That is what combines us and links us together, and it doesn't distinguish between us. And when we put that down as a premise, we then have to ask the question, well, what is this Islam that represents who I am? And for this I want to give a very simple analogy. Again, an analogy. Now, I was looking for a victim in the audience, but because I know none of you, I don't know who to choose. But Haris, we'll choose Haris, since I know the brother by name at least. If I say to brother Haris, look, I want to sell you a car. Here is the engine. Is that a car? You would never accept it. You said, brother Burhan, no, that's not a car, that's just an engine. I said, okay, I make a deal. I'm going to be very nice to you today. I'll give you an engine and I'll give you a car seat. There's your car. You would never accept that to be a car, correct? That's not a car. These are parts of a car. But this is not a car. Khalas, you know, today is Jummah. Alhamdulillah. I'll give you an engine, a car seat. I'll throw in the fluffy dice you have on the, you know, on the top. And I'll give you a steering wheel as well. That's your car. You would never accept it. You say, Brother Burhan, you can't fool me. That's not a car, these are parts of a car. And the reality is, those who are specialists in cars, mechanics, garages, they would never try to cheat you as well, because they know you have knowledge, basic knowledge, of what a car is. So no mechanic will try to teach you and say to you, this is a car, an engine, a steering wheel, fluffy dice, and whatever. You would never accept it. They would never try to cheat you. Likewise, no government would either try to cheat you on this purpose. They know we're not that stupid, that ignorant as people. Now, how does that analogy apply to us today? I come to you and say to you, brother, five pillars of Islam. I'll throw in nikah, marriage. I'll throw in Friday prayers, Jum'ah. That's your Islam. Would you accept it? That is your Islam. And everyone's a bit more quiet, contemplating. Would you accept that to be your Islam? Some say, no. Okay. Five pillars of Islam, nikah, Jum'ah. What else can we throw in? Okay, Islamic dress. Khimar and jilbab, obviously not for us to wear, mashallah, as men. But khimar and jilbab, mashallah, lahi as well. Put the dari, not for the women, mashallah, for us as men. Alhamdulillah, okay? Not to confuse things. I'll throw that in as well to you. That's your Islam. Would you accept? You wouldn't. But you would say to me, these are parts of Islam. But this is not all of Islam. Now, how the analogy fits in today is what? And we mentioned this earlier on in the discussion I had with an uncle, that there are clear guidelines that we have. And we work within those guidelines. And the guidelines for Islam are quite clear, quite distinct. That what we have discussed are simply parts of Islam. But that is not the whole of Islam. But unfortunately, the reality today, and again, this is a point of contention, you can maybe even disagree with me. But unlike the mechanic, we do have specialists today who want to tell us, oh, this is your Islam. Unlike the governments who will not accept parts of a car to be a car, we do have governments also today saying, well, this is your Islam. And you have to accept it. That is what we're being taught. This is your Islam, you have to accept it. And then we ask, then who am I? And who am I is somebody who takes Islam completely. That is the Shahada. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. This contract, it is a contract that we make with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we will worship Him and obey Him and follow the example of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in all matters, and in return, Allah's commitment to us is that we will get Jannat al-Firdaws. And I do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that all of us inshaAllah, we will gather there inshaAllah. Yeah? But that is who I am. I am a Muslim. And a Muslim built upon Islam that takes Islam completely. Takes Islam complete, doesn't choose parts of Islam, but takes Islam complete. And that is our responsibility as a Muslim, that is our responsibility as a community. And we have a huge responsibility as a community to make sure that is our yardstick, because we have a huge responsibility to our next generation. Because whatever we leave with, our next generation will inherit from us. That is how we need to think in terms of who I am and how to reclaim. That covers the first point. The second point, how does that relate in terms of the second statement? Do we need to reclaim our identity? I don't believe we need to reclaim our identity. Because we know what identity is. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says it very, very clearly. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And who is better in speech than the one who calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and enjoins and participates in the good action and says, وَأَنَّ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, and I am from the Muslims. That is who I am, that is what I represent. And I can't represent anything less, and I cannot represent anything more. That is who I am. And then the question that becomes, do I need to reclaim my identity? I don't need to reclaim my identity. But what I need to do and what we need to do, we need to state our identity. That is who we are. And alhamdulillah, with that framework, with that concept, with that idea, we have the huge responsibility in our engagement and in our interaction within the society in which we live in today,
we have the huge responsibility. Because at the end of the day, each one of us is a guardian, each one of us is an ambassador to Islam. Not just within our own families, not just within our own community, but we have this huge responsibility to the wider society. Because under this cloud that seems to be above us, which people mention is a cloud of intimidation, a cloud of fear, a cloud of suspicion, where people are pointing fingers towards the Muslims, we need to be resilient. We need to be resilient. And we need to stand upon Islam and represent Islam. Because we really have nothing to lose. Because if we hold on to the truth, as one movie said, the truth will set you free. If we have the truth, we have nothing to lose. We just need to present it as it is. And the only way to do that is to then to state who we are as Muslims. And that's a very broad point, because I know it's a big discussion today, particularly with the elections which are looming on the horizon. And we have to ask these questions. What do I do? What is my responsibility? And the only thing I'd say there, our responsibility as a Muslim community is to adhere and to hold on to Islam. What is our criteria? I am a Muslim. So my criteria is not fear. Fear is not the basis to take actions. And what is the best example of that is the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is a role model. لَقَدْ قَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. He is the best example. And during his time, the first 13 years of immense hardship, of immense struggle, of immense persecution, of immense slander, of immense boycott socially and economically, 3 years in the wilderness, in the desert, separated father and son, husband and wife, no access to employment, no access to financial means. Difficult, difficult situation that he was facing, subhanAllah, and the Sahaba, the companions, the most beloved to Rasulullah. That was the reality that they faced. Yet they still adhere to the principle that fear is not the basis by which we respond. Likewise, benefit is not the basis by which we respond. Our benefit, maslaha, what is easy, that is not the basis. Why? Allah says this in the Quran, وَأَصَنْ تَقْرُوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَأَصَنْ تُحَبُوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. There may be a thing that you like, and Allah, He made it bad for you. And there may be a thing that you dislike, and Allah made it good for you. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. You know, every time the alarm goes off, you say to yourself, another 10 minutes for Salatul Fajr. Yeah? Maybe think that you dislike, you love your sleep. And the alarm goes off again, another 10 minutes. Suddenly your father walks in, Uto, Uto! And then you know, something you dislike, Allah made it good for you. Wallahu ya'lamu antum la ta'lamun. Allah knows and you do not know. So what is benefit is what Allah has made halal for us. And what is not benefit is what Allah made haram for us. So our criteria, our measurement has to be halal and haram. It cannot be fair. It cannot be benefit. Because remember, who am I? Who are we? We are Muslims, and our basis has to be this basis of halal and haram in all matters. Which leads me to my last point, and inshallah then I've just concluded my discussion. So we've understood, inshaAllah, who am I, what's the foundation of it, how do we not reclaim, but how we state who we are, which is what we need to do today. I leave with one final point. And this final point is always a sobering moment for me. Because when I was growing up, and I only came to Islam when I was about 19, 20 years old, not saying I'm very old, somebody mentioned I had 70, don't believe that. But when I was growing up, and I was learning my deen, one of my teachers said something to me which I've always remembered. There's many, and my son will tell you, my memory is fading. But one thing I do remember, I remember very, very well when he said to me, he goes, Burhan, just remember one thing in life. And he goes, this should be your pillar that you will find throughout the whole of the Qur'an, you find throughout of the Sunnah, and if you understand this, and you hold on to this, then no matter the difficulty, you will be okay. So I said to him, you know, Ustaz, what is that? He said, look, if people love you, if people accept you, if people embrace you, If people invite you into their houses and hug you, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He hates you, you have been unsuccessful. He said, if people reject you, if people turn their back from you, if people throw you out of their houses, but Allah, He loves you, then you have been successful. He said, naturally, you try to achieve the optimum, which is you want people to love you and also for Allah to love you. But the minimum, make sure you leave this dunya that Allah, He loves you. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never looked for controversy. He never looked for hardship. He never looked for difficulty. He wanted to bring rahmah, mercy upon the life of people. But he was rejected. He was thrown out. People turned their back on him. He never sought it. He never looked for it. He wanted the best for the people. But this is what happened to him. But he maintained and he persevered upon the truth, because he wanted to be sure that what the people learnt is that our trust and our success, it lies by holding on to who we are and holding on to the truth and representing Islam, because that's all we have to represent. We have nothing more, we have nothing less. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله والحمد رب العالمين
يا هلا ويا هلا ويا هلا ويا هلا حن قلبي على.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment, and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com, as well as rate, review of iTunes. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com, as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment, and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com, as well as rate, review of iTunes.